It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Diamondbacks baseball.
And he corks one way back. And it is gone.
The D-backs BP show.
Fly ball to left. Hit pretty well by Lamb at the wall. It's gone.
Diamondbacks radio network.
There's a shot to center field. Parr on the run. Can't get it. He gets by him. All the way to the wall. Bounces more towards center. Marte turns second. He heads for third. Tony Parasikas racing into the plate. Here comes the throw. It's high. He is safe.
D-backs BP show.
Welcome to our weekly check-in as we try to get prepared for a 2020 baseball season. Our producer-engineer is Leo Gilmartin. Our technical director, Luke Robbins, with the television voice of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Steve Berthiaume.
Hello,
Mike.
Mike
Farron. Guys, it's another week, hopefully closer to a time when we might have baseball back. It sounds certainly, Bert, like the next 2 weeks are going to be very important for Major League Baseball and the Players Association to come to an agreement on the season, as now health protocol is being gone over, which is pretty important, but it does seem like everybody is fairly positive on the plan that Major League Baseball outlined at the end of last week.
I think, Mike, that the league got a lot of very good publicity, and I think deservedly so, for having such a detailed oriented plan. I mean, every little thing you could possibly think of, down to what door do I go in, who's allowed where, can I spit, can I fist bump, can I get a drink of water? They have thought of everything. It's extremely comprehensive, and it seems like a terrific platform from which to start that portion of the negotiation and then get into the money. And as we talked about this last week, this is a negotiation. These are two sides, as Buster Olney will tell us in a moment, that have not gotten along very well at all in the last quarter century. So there's still room to maneuver and time to get it done. It's not something that was going to get done in a day or two, and here we are.
How do you know Buster's going to say that?
Because I read his article, Mike, on Sunday on ESPN.com.
You got to leave something for him.
I think Buster will come up with one or two things.
It's a massive undertaking. It's impressive, the details that they've seen, that we've seen already. It's really impressive.
And it's just the first draft of this, basically. All the teams are weighing in on it. The Players Association is weighing in. And I think by the beginning of next week, they'll have that more hammered out. There's also the financial component to this, which is going to be certainly based on some of the comments today in the New York Post from both Major League Baseball and the Players Association. It might still be a little bit of a sticking point in terms of getting back on the field. Luis Urueta is going to join us in about a half an hour, the D-backs bench coach. Pipe, he's going to be on the program. We'll talk to him. We'll check in on what he's been up to and what some of the Diamondbacks players have been doing to get ready for what is hopefully a 2020 campaign. John Shambi Boog is going to join us at about quarter after. We'll visit with the ESPN television and radio announcer who has been doing Korean baseball organization games from his apartment in New York, which is kind of cool. And so we'll talk to Boog about the KBO and get into that. But joining us now, we are very pleased to be joined by an insider from ESPN and ESPN.com. The great Buster Olney is on the line with us. Buster, Mike Farron, Steve Berthiaume, Leo Gilmartin. How are you? Everything good?
Hanging in there. How about you guys?
We're doing well, man. Thanks for doing this. And I'm sorry this is radio because I can't get an update on your self-imposed haircut from last week, which was the star of one of Boog's KBO's KBO shows last week, when you apparently tried to cut your own hair. Is that the case?
Yeah, here's the deal, okay? So, yeah, we're here, sheltered at home, and it goes on for a few weeks, and I'm looking at the hair. It's beginning to look like an SOS pad, and I'm thinking, okay, I got to do something about it. My wife laughs. She said, I'm not touching that. My son, 15 years old, he's no help whatsoever. And so I got ordered clippers, and I actually cut my hair pretty well the first time. And to the point that, I got compliments on it in the house. Wow. So then I was getting ready for the first KBO broadcast that I was going to do, and I took the clippers and I ran it up the right side of my head in this aggressive swath, and I realized that I hadn't put a guard on a number three at all, and I basically had cut to the scalp. And what do you do with that, right? And so what I wanted, at the end, I looked like Kim Jong-un, you know, with the hair cut to all the way to the scalp on the sides and
that's
some hair
look.
On the top, and it was ugly. And my two kids were thrilled. They were absolutely excited that it looks really bad.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's see, everybody's got a story of what's gone wrong during their stay-at-home order, right? So this is at least this is one for the ages. So, Buster, I know you've been writing for years about the relationship between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, and certainly that's come to the forefront again. And there was a little bit of a war of words publicly today between the two sides. What's your take on the latest in terms of these sides trying to work through both health and financial protocols to be able to get a 2020 season off the ground?
Privately, what I'm hearing from moderate players is that they think that in the end they'll work out a deal because they need to. This is working out a deal is their way to actually get some revenue. But let's face it, the way that we're getting there is so ugly and it's so bad, and it actually, I think, really ratchets up the pressure on the two sides to finish a deal when you have, you know, Tony Clark, the head of Player Association, you know, putting out multiple statements saying negotiations are over, that they're not going to talk about salary rollbacks, and Scott Boras, giving comments along the same lines, and Blake Snell last week saying in so many words that playing for, you know, $2.5 million is just might not be worth it because he's the one out, he's going to be risking his life. I think the optics are potentially so bad for the two sides if they can't get a deal done, because now the perception is that it comes down to two sides agreeing to how to split their financial pie. That potentially is so destructive for baseball if they don't come back. I think it's going to push them across the finish line. But it makes me shake my head how they're getting there.
Well, I don't think, Buster, anybody anticipated that it would be all kumbaya around the campfire with these two sides, which, as you wrote Sunday at ESPN.com, things have been dicey for the last 25 years. But I thought sort of the gist of your piece was this, in that the union side and Tony Clark has an opportunity here to not just get a deal done now, but sort of set things up for when the next CBA expires in December of 2021. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, Bert, look, there's no doubt that in this moment that the players have some leverage, because I think it would hurt the owners, big picture, more financially if there's no baseball this year. And so the union, which lost ground with the last collective bargaining agreement, you know, has an opportunity to address some of the things that it's trying to change about free agency, about service time manipulation, about tanking. And so maybe what they could do is go to the owners and say, look, we'll help you guys out with some salary relief this year, but you're going to help us out with issues that we're worried about. The current CBA runs out in December of 2021, so let's roll 20 and 21 into a new deal that goes on for 5 years, and we can really help the players going forward. I got to tell you, I talked to people on both sides about this idea, and they said there's no doubt that the union has the leverage, but based on recent history, they also don't have any expectation that they would do this. And I think here's the real concerning part for the players. Let's say that they absolutely squeeze the owners on this one. They win this. They get a little bit more extra money. You guys know, and I know, the next negotiation, the advantage pendulum swings the other way, and they may wind up paying for not making a deal this summer. And labor peace, again, would be at issue.
Are there direct meetings scheduled, or is it just ongoing dialogue, exchanging ideas?
Yeah, they've been having conversations, and what I've been told is in the last 48 hours, they've actually made some progress on the health side of things, a sense that they're on the same page with that. as daunting as that 67-page protocol that Major League Baseball forwarded the Players Association over the weekend is, they're both trying to find the best possible way to keep the players healthy. But the Mount Everest in these talks is going to be the financial stuff and trying to work that out. And this afternoon's, you know, firing back and forth, again, makes me shake my head because I don't know what it does to serve either side, and in particular the players, ratcheting up this perception that, you know, that they're just arguing over money at a time when over 30 million people have lost their jobs and other families have lost so much more. It just doesn't help anybody.
We're visiting with Buster Olney, ESPN insider here on the D-backs BP show. Buster, you mentioned that the more moderate voices are ones that feel like there's going to be a deal done. And when we see a lot of public discussions in a collective bargaining agreement, it is maybe the more hawkish and the saber rattlers that are involved. I know that there are a number of agents that have been involved in these the negotiation that happened in March and as of now. Are there some of those guys that are the moderates that help that? Who do we turn to for on either side to be able to see a glimmer of hope as opposed to the back and forth?
I think some key names to watch as we come down the stretch. Andrew Miller, who is has a prominent role among the active players on the union side. He's super smart. He's someone, if you talk to him, you know he's going to consider all sides. That's just his nature. And I know that from talking with some of his colleagues, they feel like he understands the owners are losing a lot of money. There are not games being played. People are not in the stands. He is a moderate voice. Chris Iannetta, you know, the long-term catcher. You guys had him with the Diamondbacks. He's with the Yankees this spring. And on the management side, I think former pitcher Chris Young, who, of course, just recently ended his career. He could have worked with the union, I'm sure, because he's so respected on that side. He's effectively at the top of baseball operations in Major League Baseball. Those are some of the voices that are talking beneath the surface of the shells being lobbed back and forth and accusations being lobbed back and forth.
Well, Chris Iannetta, Buster, as you mentioned, we know he's a great guy to have involved in there. Very smart, very articulate, very thoughtful. It's good to know that he's that involved. I sort of look at this as the undercard bout for the next CBA, as we talked about earlier. In the end, if and when they do settle this and play in 2020, do you think that will sort of build a bridge and heal some wounds and help things out in 2021?
Bert, I think it totally depends on what happens. If, let's say, that the two sides remain entrenched and that the players, the leadership basically stands on what we've heard from Tony Clark and from Scott Boras, who's perceived by a lot of agents and players as having influence, and they stand on their feeling that now the only way we're going to play is if you honor the current contracts. If the owners wind up having to surrender to that stance, then, as I mentioned, I think the next time around, they may, when their leverage is on their side in an off season, that make it really ugly. Where when the union comes after adjustments for free agency, for service time manipulation, for tanking, you might see the owners entrench and say, you know what, we can't deal with these guys. We can't deal with Tony Clark. We're just going to sit here and we're going to, you know, have with the bigger bankroll, we're going to go to war and look for regime change. So I do agree with you that a lot of what happens this summer is going to set up where we're going to be next year with the CBA talks. And that's why you do hope that cooler heads prevail and they can reach a detente.
I will say I do feel good after hearing you say that the moderate voices, you know, still feel good about this. I mean, that's kind of the way we've been hearing it, and every player that I've spoken to over the last couple of weeks, Buster, has been optimistic that something was going to get done. So certainly, hopefully, that will continue. We greatly appreciate your time, sir. It is good to catch up with you. Please stay safe, and hopefully we get a chance to talk about actual baseball games with you the next time.
Oh, I hope so. My hair will be recovered by then. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, great.
Thanks, Buster.
Take care, Buster. Thanks.
Cindy says hi.
Okay. Say hi for me.
All
All right. I will. Take care. Thanks for doing this.
Buster Olney from ESPN, their insider, joining us for just a couple of moments. ESPN broadcaster John Shambi Boog joins us next. This is the D-backs BP show.
Diamondbacks baseball. This is the Diamondbacks BP show. Diamondbacks Radio Network.
Still to come on the program, Luis Urueta, the D-backs bench coach. Leo will call him Pipe because he doesn't want to have to say Urueta.
Urueta.
No, I was just thinking, that's actually very, you pronounce that outstanding.
Did you know? Did
what, Pipe?
I struggle with Pipe.
Do you know his story this winter? Pipe for years has been the general manager, the manager of Licey in the Dominican Winter League, and Pipe was working fantasy camp this year. He and Robbie Hammock were managing a team, and the Dominican leagues work a little bit like the old NHL, where they'll fire coaches every 6 minutes. So the manager gets fired right before the playoffs for Licey. He literally on a Saturday Friday was managing fantasy camp guys, and on Sunday was managing for a shot at the playoffs in the Dominican Winter League.
Those are some great stories that come out of the Dominican Winter League.
He is extremely. A lot of D-backs fans don't know about Pipe, but he is extremely well regarded. And every time we talk to Torrey, he points that guy's going to be a big league manager someday soon.
Interviewed for the Red Sox.
Much bigger
job.
Role this year when we get going.
Yeah, interviewed for the Red Sox job this winter. We are very pleased to be joined now by a good friend of all of ours. He is the voice of baseball on ESPN on both television and on radio, and the voice of the Korean baseball organization English language broadcast. The great John Shambi is on the line with us. Boog, Mike Burton, Leo Gilmartin, how are you?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Howdy, Boog.
Boog, I sort of see you now as the Mike Farron of the KBO.
I agree. Okay, I'll take that compliment. I'll take that compliment. It's
backhanded.
It's a long time coming, but there I am, you know?
Stop. I've watched a lot of the broadcasts. They're really fun. I can't imagine how difficult it must be for you. It may be just as difficult for all of us here in a month or two if and when we play again. But can you give fans a sense of how different it is broadcasting a KBO game in your circumstances now versus being at the game?
So, I mean, it truly is the hardest thing I've ever done. It's, I mean, just on so many levels. Like, I want it to be fun. I feel like I want to do the game, but I want to keep people – I'm assuming most of the people don't know the KBO, so I'm trying to give them information. We're trying to bring on guests to give them information, and then also keep it light. We're on camera a lot, so I have a set behind me. I put ridiculous pictures up behind me that are baseball related, sometimes not baseball related. It's East Coast time. I mean, it's Korean baseball at 5:30 in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, it's Korean baseball at 1 in the morning. It's And as far as technically, we get the lineups 35 minutes before first pitch. My second game, they called 15 minutes to air and said, okay, your game got rained out. We're going to do a different game.
Oh, fun.
Oh, wow.
So.
Love that.
And then, it's not a standard broadcast where you have people saying in your ear, new left fielder so-and-so. We just don't have it. So. You come back, the commercial breaks are like 75 seconds. I come back from break, and externally you hear me saying, welcome back, KBO and ESPN, John Shambi, Kyle Peterson. And meanwhile, I'm looking at my laptop and realizing that pitcher looks different. I think it might be a different guy. I can't read his name. The starter was 25. This guy looks like number 35. So I'm talking to KP or I'm promoting something or whatever and looking at my roster to see if the pitcher's changed. And then, when a pinch hitter comes up, sometimes you recognize it's a pinch hitter, sometimes you don't. And then just, we control none of the shots so that there, I do not want to make fun of the league, because there are a number of really good players, or the level, and I'm really trying hard on the names. I will say that every once in a while, because of the way they cut the game, and I'm learning, but still, they'll just show a shot, and I'll be like, and there's that guy. You know what I mean? Like, because you
he's a left-hander.
You can't do anything. So it's just really – I don't – look, we have fun too, but – It's a lot, man. It's a lot. I described the first time I did it, it felt like I was log rolling for 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Hey, Boog, we're thinking about getting a Diamondbacks fantasy KBO league going. Who are some names that I got to write down on my list here? Who are some names that legitimately that maybe some fans in the state should pay attention to?
But I think the best player in the league is the catcher for the NC Dinos, UG Young. I mean, he could hit probably four or five in a big league lineup. He's legit. They have another hitter, Sung Bum Na, who's a really good hitter. And then there are a couple other. I mean, the shortstop for Kiwoom, his last name is So. He's going to post. And there are some other, pretty good hitters. Kiwoom Jung Ho Lee is their right fielder. He's 21, I think, and he could swing any super skinny and likely will fill out. So, I mean, those are some of the guys. One of the things that's hard, what people ask me, what's the level? And I would say in assessing it, you can't. I mean, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. But I would say, I think it's more you assess the three components of the game. And I think offensively, it's AAA-ish. Like, there are three guys in every lineup that could hit in a big league lineup. I mean, there are. But the stuff on the mound is maybe D1 college level. They have more experience, so they know how to do it, but they pick and they're really afraid of giving up homers. So you're in perpetual 2-0, 2-1 counts. And then I would say the one part of it, that is surprising in terms of how much practice they just put in, but they don't put that much practice in on defense, and the defense kind of stinks.
I you're right. Now that you mention that, I've watched quite a few of these games, and it's interesting. The breaks are jarring. Like, as soon as you go to commercial, you're back and you're playing again, which is great. So there is a pace of play, and the ball is in play a lot more because nobody's throwing 100.
But the games are long still. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's funny. They do like take a while.
So, that's the thing. That's the thing that's interesting. And again, it underlines, like strikeouts. The thing I always say about MLB, where it's headed, is you can't have the three things operating at the same time. You can't have the games getting longer, the amount of time between pitches getting longer, and the amount of time between balls in play getting longer. If all the way baseball was being played right now was happening in a 2.5 hour window that was set every time, then okay, then maybe you could manage it. I don't think it would be the best thing. The best thing would be an improvement in all areas, but you can't have all three. That's, in my opinion, like you're headed towards a real problem if all three continue to grow in that regard. You're going to have to address at least two of them, I would say.
Well, right now, Boog, you're the only game in town, and all kidding aside,
yeah, I am.
Have you?
I would argue that he's always the only game in town, Bert.
But I know we're not communicating and seeing our neighbors and friends like we normally do, but do you get a sense that you are filling a void, in all seriousness, for people that are out there starving for baseball? Have you gotten any kind of feedback in that regard at all?
It's been funny, the text and the social media and just friends, people, baseball people that have seen pieces. Yeah, I do. I get it. I'm trying to honor it. And I think it's, what we're doing is a little different. Like, in my mind, because of our technical limitations, I don't even think best case scenario I'm looking to call this like it's Mets-Phillies on a Monday night. You know, like it's got to, because of who's playing, the level and the lack of information, it's going to sort of go between like some, you know, it's play-by-play in form, but there's also some talk show aspects to it. And this is our this is our baseball window. So we're going to talk some MLB as well. At least that's the way I see us doing it. And that's the way we're going to do it when I'm doing it. So, yeah, I'm getting that. It's hard, you know, like social media is not always a good barometer in that regard. And then, you know, all the feedback you're getting via text and email from friends is just kind of anecdotal.
Hey, Boog, before we let you go, we've been visiting with John Schaube from ESPN. You mentioned you're still talking MLB, and I know you talked to a lot of players, managers, executives. On a scale of Tim Kirkjian being the most optimistic on a season to Steve Berthume being the least right. optimistic, where would you put line on it?
I'm wow.
just
not
a bird. I'm tireless optimist.
Captain Negative. Gosh. I would never come on the program.
Boog, it's a heavy burden. It's a heavy burden.
I know. I don't know where. I'm not sure, man. I think they'll play because I think they really want to play, and I think that's going to supersede everything. It doesn't feel like they have it tied up into – you know, a bow. And I think I am biased based on where I live. You know, I live in New York City and I saw it. It was scary for a good 3 to 4 weeks. And it's interesting how it's worked because I go on. I mean, look, I'm not that guy. Like I'm not, you know, the guy who's, you know, as I jokingly like to say, you know, if a UFO landed on the field the fourth inning, then I tell you, like, I knew that was going to happen. I'm not. What I will say is, you know, in April, I was going on, you know, bazillion talk radio shows because I'm a gas bag, and people would ask me about stuff. And one of the things I'd say to them is, I don't think we'll have fans in major sports until the first of the year. And I was surprised that people were surprised, that people are like, really? You think so, huh? You don't think the NFL's going to have – I'm like, no, I don't think the NFL's going to have – I mean, and I'll stick to it. So I think it's going to be challenging for MLB, but I think they really want to do it. So I think that they're going to give it a try.
Boog, we appreciate the time. Catch Boog all weekend long. Friday, Saturday, Sunday games on the KBO. Games also airing on rebroadcast on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. Got to pay all the bills here. Thank you, my friend. You're the best. Love you.
I miss seeing you guys. I love you guys, too.
Take care.
See you, Boog.
Thanks, Boog.
The great John Schaube from ESPN joining us for a few moments. Luis Urueta, D-backs bench coach, next. This is the D-backs BP Show.
The D-backs BP Show. Diamondbacks Radio Network.
Let's talk a little D-backs, shall we? The bench coach, his first season as the bench coach of the D-backs, is one of our favorites, one of the smartest guys in baseball. We are very pleased to be joined by Luis Urueta, or better known amongst those who know him as Pipe. Pipe, Mike Farron, Steve Berthume, Leo Gilmartin, how the heck are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Not much, man. I mean, trying to stay safe, trying to stay home, and, you know, wait until baseball gets back, man.
Yeah, I think
Pipe, we were just all stunned yesterday by the terrible news about Starling Marte and the death of his wife. Just came out of nowhere, and you just thought, oh gosh, that's just awful. Have you talked to him? How is he doing? And do you have any details as to what happened?
Yeah, Steve, it was devastating. I mean, Hayes gave us the news yesterday. I immediately reached out. To Starling, I mean, that was, I don't know, maybe like an hour after it happened. And yes, I mean, he was down. He was so upset. And, you know, we only know Starling for the amount of time that we were in spring training with him. And we know what a guy he is. And I actually met his wife for a little bit in spring. I mean, I know how much she took care of him, and so for him, it's it's so upsetting, you know. But, I mean, today was the funeral. I talked to him again today. I reached out, and apparently he's doing a little bit better, but it will take some time, man. It's not easy for him.
No, yeah. I can only imagine, and our sincerest condolences to him and his family. Do you have any idea what happened?
The little details that I have, it's she was going through a surgery, ankle surgery, from what I was informed, and I don't know if it was some type of like blood clot issues or the anesthesia. We really don't know yet, but there was something that happened. Either during the surgery or before, but she had a bad reaction and it cost her life.
That's so awful. That's just terrible. For those of us, I mean, obviously nobody in the Valley was around Starling very much this spring, and I don't think fans got a chance to know him. I think you've known him for a few years beyond just having him in the clubhouse. What can you tell us about him as a person?
No, he's a great person, hard worker as anybody. This guy is a beast, the way he works, the way he goes at his business. I mean, and he's a good teammate, man. Like, he bonded quickly. He's not the most talker. You know, he's a little bit quiet, but he's a great human being. I mean, players in the Dominican love him. And I think he was bonding really good with his teammates. I mean, it's a bummer. So something to happen like that, but I hope he gets through it and he knows that all his teammates are here to support him. I know everybody has reached out, like all the Latin guys, the American guys. I mean, I was talking to Lammer today and Walker, and everybody's reaching out to him, you know, just to show support.
I was going to say that's got to underscore the difficult times we're in, because, you know, it's such a family in there, and you want to be there for your teammate. You want to be there for the guy. And to have all this distance and not to be able to really physically just embrace him and be there for him, it's got to be tough all the way around.
That's exactly what we talked about, Leola. I mean, Hayes, I mean, there's nothing we could do at this time as an organization as far as, like, our presence down there. You know, in other scenario, probably we would have, I mean, Hayes or Derek, I mean, me and Torrey and some of his teammates probably would have taken a plane and go down there just to be with him. But, you know, knowing the circumstances, I mean, he knows that it's almost impossible. But, I mean, Junior Noboa's down there, Cattell's down there. So, you know, those are guys are being pretty close to him and showing that, you know, that the D-backs family, it's close to him.
Yeah, Pipe, I think that even though he really hasn't played, obviously, a regular season game as a Diamondback, I would think that there is the support system in place, because, as you mentioned earlier, I was really, really pleasantly surprised in spring training when we were going to camp at how quickly, how almost immediately that Starling fit in. It looked as if he'd been playing with these guys for years, don't you think?
No, I totally agree. I think it was a perfect, sign or a trade. I mean, this guy bonded quickly. One of the things that I told Hayes and JP and the front office guys, and even Torrey, was, you know, Cattell wanted a Dominican player with him. He was begging for one of those. And, I mean, we didn't do it because of that, but I think there was some chemistry immediately. He bonded with Cattell, with Escobar, Peralta, the American guys. He's fluent in English. He speaks the language. I think he was a great fit.
We're visiting with D-backs bench coach Luis Urueta. And Pipe, I'm curious, just in general, I know you mentioned that you've kept in touch with a number of the players that aren't necessarily in the U.S. as we go through this shutdown. What is your understanding of what life has been like, say specifically in the Dominican Republic, where so many guys maybe had a chance to go home to try and ride this out?
Well, Cattell and Starling were the two guys that that basically went home. The other, like, foreign guys, like Lopez and those, they're here. Lopez is in Miami. The Venezuelan guys are here. They're working out of the park. Rondon went back to Miami. But as far as the Dominican guys, I mean, I know the rules over there. There is a shelter in place, I think, starting at 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. But those guys had the facility that Cattell has a big house, and he's got a cage, and he's got a beach right next to his house. So they're doing their stuff. I mean, they're doing their work. They're staying active. like I mentioned earlier, Starling was posting videos of him working out every day, hitting on a field. So, I mean, they were following the rules, but at the same time, they were able to get on a field and do their work like the guys back here in Phoenix.
Pipe, how excited are you for your new role? I mean, you were entrenched in it in the spring, but how excited are you to get into a big league dugout and do some real games?
Damn, I mean, now it's probably going to be 6 feet away from Tor during the game. So I don't know how's that going to work? But I was super excited, super excited. I owe so much to this organization. This has been my family for the last, 30 years a coach and then four as a player. It's been my family since I'm a teenager. Getting this opportunity, I'm super blessed, super thankful for Hazen and the front office. I mean, I learned from the best. I mean, I learned from Tori. I learned from Jerry. I learned from a lot of good coaches. And I was looking forward for this season. I know it's going to happen. Hopefully, it's the sooner the better, and we're healthy and we get through it. But I'm ready for the role. I hope I can help the team win.
Pipe, can you give fans an idea of exactly what the bench coach does and what does that role entail? What are your responsibilities?
To make a long answer short, I think my role is just to make Tori the best manager in the league. Anything that Tori needs, Tori's got a lot of things on his plate. So I try to take all the things that I can off his plate. I mean, dealing with, communicating with players, preparing workouts, preparing the day, making sure everything's running the right way. Obviously, in game, there's my opinion as far as like whatever Tori needs. But I know, like I said, like Tori handles you guys, handles media, fans, and there's a lot of things that he has to do throughout the day. So I kind of like, make sure that all the other things are taken care of. I think Tori's a great communicator. He allows his coaching staff to work, and I basically make sure that's happening. We have a great coaching staff that probably, like, they do their own thing, and they don't need much supervision. But my job is to stay on top of things and make sure we're doing the right things for the players.
But what's been the biggest thing that you've learned now in the nearly 3 years in the big leagues? What are some of the biggest things that you have learned as a coach now?
I'll say the way you communicate with players and understand how big leaguers go about their business, the way they prepare, the way they think. It's a little bit different than in the minor leagues. These guys have big egos. They think highly of themselves. They auto-evaluate pretty highly, and you got to deal with that. You got to learn how to manage their personalities. These guys are pros, and our job is to send them the right message. And it's different. It's different than in the minor leagues. In the minor leagues, a player will just follow orders or follow rules. In the big leagues, it's a little bit different. These guys have been in the big leagues for quite a bit, and they understand how their body reacts. They understand a lot of things that they've learned throughout their careers, and our job is just to communicate wisely and communicate in a way where they understand and they follow you, and you can help them become better players.
So where does Pipe come from?
Pipe.
How'd you get the nickname?
So it's actually Pipe, which is like a nickname for Felipe. That's my middle name. So my name is Luis Felipe. So back home, the Felipes, they call them Pipe. So when I came here, in the minor leagues, the Latin players that I played with, some of them, and now they were coaches as well. They call me Pipe. So the American guys were like, "Well, what's Pipe?" So it goes by Pipe in American, in English. So it's thick, and it's Pipe now.
Pipe, how's the jump shot?
Now in this quarantine, I decided to start a cycling team. Miguel Montero and some other coaches, we put up a team together, and now we're cycling. I think that will give me my a little bit of stamina and put me in better shape to play basketball. 2021, I'm hoping.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, Torrey's counting on you to expand that mid range game a little bit and get some jump shots in.
Pipe, can you? I'd like to get a scouting report on Leo Gilmartin, the basketball player, by the way, because I know Leo plays in the coaches' game sometimes until he retired. What's the breakdown on Leo's game? Does he have one?
Put it this way, Leo is the perfect seventh guy. He's the perfect center guy. He's the perfect guy for me because I'm the seventh guy. Leo's the seventh guy, so we're always together. So he's a great guy to be around.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, we did go against each other from time to time. Pipe didn't like covering me that much because I didn't move around a lot, and he wanted to get active. He wanted to get after it.
That's why I had to get on the bike.
I'll get better. I'll get better for sure. I'll get better. I'm working on it.
Got to get Bert on your cycling team. He's a big cyclist, Pipe. You got to get him out there. Steve will get out there with you.
Yeah, everybody's welcome. I think this year Robbie Hammock in spring training started setting up like new unis, like uniforms were NBA unis. Like we were getting like pretty good unis. Unfortunately,
yeah,
this happens,
but
we're stepping up our game.
That's great. Pipe, we appreciate the time. It's good to catch up with you. Please stay safe, and hopefully we get to see you in the not-too-distant future.
For sure, guys. You stay safe, too, and I hope to see you as soon as possible.
All right,
thanks,
take care. Luis Urueta, D-backs bench coach, joining us for a few moments. This is the D-backs BP Show. Final moments of our program for this week. Lots to still do around the Diamondbacks. Here's Bert with your community calendar.
Mike, I'm glad you brought that up because there's so many things going on right now. Like, of course, Thursday night's throwback classic game, Fox Sports Arizona. Game one of the 2001 World Series. Has that been a Gubs greatest?
It was 2 weeks ago. The last time we did a Gubs greatest, which will return next week.
Thanks for paying attention.
Well, you know, we got a lot of responsibilities here, Leo. Anyway,
what are your responsibilities, Bert? No, let's go through them now that you've brought them up to people.
Well, I have to walk the dog, ride the bike.
In the middle of the show.
Actually, the wife just walked the dog during the show because I'm night guy. She's morning guy, and I'm night guy for walking.
So did you guys reverse
Snow,
things
so.
Today? Is that what it was?
No, I didn't walk the dog at all today. I was 0-2.
See?
Because I was listening to your little radio show on the Space Channel. And then I rode the bike, and now I'm doing the show. So this is my busy day, Mike. I got a lot going on here. So Thursday night throwback classic Fox Sports Arizona game 1 2001 World Series. And there's all kinds of great D-backs and baseball content on Fox Sports Arizona social media channels. Now, I watched this last night, and I got to tell you, this is awesome. The Between the Seams segments that you can find on the D-backs YouTube channel, they had Merrill Kelly sitting down for about 11, 12 minutes, going through his pitch grips, talking about each one of the five pitches he throws, what he's trying to do with it, why he throws it, and where and how often and everything. It was fascinating. So if you're a YouTuber, go on to the D-backs YouTube channel, Between the Seams with Merrill Kelly. That, I'm using a little finger quotes, dropped last night. That's really, really good. And don't forget, you know, we haven't really had a chance to see the new uniforms, guys. You know, the D-backs got new uniforms.
True.
It's been so long, we kind of forgot. So if you need the gear, if you need the new look Diamondback stuff, the team shop is open. You can email. Now, they're closed. I should say they're physically closed, but they are open for business. You can order online, teamshop@dbacks.com. Or give them a call, 602-462-6701. And at Salt River Fields on the weekends, they're doing the drive-in movies. So that's kind of
Bert,
cool.
You're about due for another hat, aren't you?
I got a lot of hats.
Couple times a month you're in there getting the hat?
Yeah, I got a lot of hats. Well, I should emphasize again, the store
He's
is
He's wearing
closed,
so many, he can't even pay
movies.
Attention to what we've run on this program, Leo.
Man of many hats.
Let's see, this weekend at Salt River Fields, the movies Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be Onward at 7:10 and Joker at 9:40. Joker was a popular film this year, correct? This past year?
Yeah, that Joaquin Phoenix won an Academy Award for Best
Maybe
Actor.
I should start going to those and giving a, we can do a review afterwards.
Did you see his acceptance speech, by the way, at the Oscars? That was weird, wild stuff.
The Oscars, those happened like 6 years ago, didn't they?
Seems like
I'm not sure that I even remember. I was thinking about this. I was listening to a podcast today, and I was thinking about, they were talking about March, which was apparently only 2 months ago. But they were talking about the day that, like, all of sports shut down as part of the coronavirus, and then, like, mentioned that the opening day was going to be 2 weeks later. And I just kept thinking that that time between, what, March 12th and March 26th felt like 3 years. I can't believe that that was 2 weeks. Time has gone much faster since then, I think.
The days go by very quickly, I think.
But the nights are long? Is that what it is? The nights are long and treacherous?
I'm at least caught up on the days of the week. I'm doing pretty good there. I've stayed pretty steady on knowing the day of the week.
Was it like you had to memorize it for the first time in your life? And well, that's now
yes,
you're trying to show off?
It was a process.
Sundial in the front
yard. First, I had to remember, I had to learn the order.
Well, you know, one thing we haven't mentioned, Mike, and you were talking about Austin Hedges, or actually you haven't talked about it, but you sent me a copy of the San Diego Union-Tribune article, and where Austin Hedges, the player rep for the Padres, was surprisingly optimistic, saying that a deal is going to get done and they're making progress. And I think, like we pointed out, it's not the greatest look for baseball right now, but it seems that progress is being made. I know everybody in the team side is very optimistic, so you know, once they get the economic plan lined up, everybody says they have to, and we expect that they will, and hopefully we'll be playing ball soon.
You know, and as much as they've argued about this, the thing that I think is good is that the first thing that they've tried to tackle is the health component, which is really important. And actually, in some ways, I think is easier to agree on, because that's the thing that everybody wants, right? You want a sound health protocol, so they can get that done. We'll be in a good in good position, and hopefully that we'll have more on that by the time we get on next week.
Yeah, without that health protocol, you know, everything else doesn't matter. If we can't get on the field and play safely, then everything else goes by the wayside anyway. So
that's it for us. For our technical director, Luke Robbins, for Leo Gilmartin, Steve Berthiaume, I'm Mike Farron, and thanks for joining us for D-Backs BP Show.